and welcome. It is Your Money. Happy to have you with us today. And I'm Susie Jones, and we're so happy to have, as always, our friends, our guests, Bruce Helmer, founder of the Wealth Enhancement Group and financial advisor, also Senior Vice President Peg Webb with Wealth Enhancement. Welcome to both of you. I hope everybody's having a great day so far.
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Bruce.
Hello, Peg Webb. Hello, Susie Jones. Hello, listeners. I hope everybody's having a nice time at the Minnesota State Fair, where we're getting good weather for it this week. Hey, Susie and listeners, before Peg and I dive into our topic today, and we're actually going to talk about AI. Everybody seems to be talking about it in one capacity or another, AI, alternative intelligence. We're going to talk a little bit about how we're using it in the financial services industry, how it's changing the financial services industry. But before we jump into that, frequent listeners to the show, and if you were with us last week, late in the show, Peg and I had a question that neither one of us felt like we gave a very good reply to, and we promised to do some homework and come back next week with a better answer. I honestly had forgotten all about it, but Peg did not. Peg dug into it a little bit and can come back and give a better answer to that question that we didn't get to last week. Peg?
Yes. Thanks, Bruce. The question was about this new deduction, which is $6,000 or $12,000 for a joint filer, both spouses, you know, if you're 65 plus. So the question was, is that just a hard cutoff or is there a deduction phase out? And I kind of stumbled because, Bruce, when we had COVID and they changed all those rules in 2021, 22, it was the same kind of thing. So I thought there would be a phase out, and actually there is. The deduction phases out at a rate of 6% or $150,000. Okay, let me go over this again now. The basics of a modified adjusted gross income, if you're single, is $75,000. And if you're married, it's $150,000. But they're phasing in this deduction, so you actually can be as high as $175,000 as a single and $250,000 as a joint, and you'll get maybe a partial still. So the good news is, Bruce, we have the entire show next week on the one big, beautiful bill, and we can go into this deeper, and I'm anxious to kind of go through all the highlights now that some of the time has gone by, and our planning team and our investment team and everybody created just a great outline for us as advisors with Wealth Enhancement Group regarding all the changes in the bill. So more to come next week.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people have been waiting for that show. So we will do a deep dive next week. And, you know, the question or the law, the part of the bill, Peg, that you're referencing, there's been some confusion also because it's kind of been sold as to avoid taxes on your Social Security benefit. And that's not what it does directly. It kind of does that indirectly if you qualify. That credit can offset. But there's been misinformation out there that they actually, at the federal level, took away taxes on your Social Security income. And that's not true. But this credit can offset some of those taxes. And it's kind of been pitched that way, and it created, I think, some misunderstanding. But hopefully by the end of next week's show, everybody will have better clarity on what is and is not part of the big, beautiful bill and is not now the law. Let's dive into today's topic. Peg, everybody, and I mean everybody, is talking about AI, alternative intelligence. Why are we doing a show on it now? And, you know, how is it impacting us? How does it impact our industry? How do we use it? How do we not use it? What are ways that people listening can use it in their world with regard to personal finance? I have to admit, I've talked on this show many times that I'm not technologically proficient, but I have started to use AI in certain things on a daily basis, and I have found it, at least to the extent that I use it, to be extremely helpful in my practice. Let's dive into this. How do we use AI, Peg?
Yeah, I think it's many people who listen to this show know that I'm married to a techie, right? He's very well versed in all the applications and computers, and since we've been married for decades now, I've been coached, you know, from him about the leading things that are happening within the tech world. Well, it got me thinking, Bruce, because back in 1992, and this will be a good kind of basis for a start here. In 1992, I was in the financial brokerage world as a financial advisor. And at that point, I got my very first computer on my desk. So from the early 80s to 1992, I had only the ability to have three ring binders and have them alphabetized as the clients that I had. So if somebody would call me and they had an A as their last name, I would pull out that binder and then have all the detail about that client in a handwritten type of order. Well, think about that. What a transformation in those decades of time. And now I would say that AI, artificial intelligence, is like the new kind of feeling of going from a three-ring binder to the tech world. And I think it's probably a good idea just to talk about, you know, really what is AI? It's just machines, right? They just emulate human thinking and behavior. That can be kind of scary for people, but they achieve this through this extensive data. There's all sorts of data out there, and they're really good at, these computers, at analyzing patterns and connections, and they gain knowledge just by the data that's out there. But it actually is a man-made creation. It's developed with this complex algorithms and programming, but their very existence is actually a function of human intellect and innovation. So it's a combination of all the things that have been in the internet or the World Wide Web for a long time. Now, one thing I want you to know is that AI only knows the past. It doesn't know the future. But the big deal here is that in a very short period of time, because of all this data, humans can't pull that data like these computers can. It just processes large amount of data, you know, very quickly and accurately, and it actually helps us kind of narrow down what we're looking for, and it just has these repetitive tasks that humans couldn't do as fast. And that's just the big deal here. It's just super fast. So Wealth Enhancement Group loves the fact that this is going to enhance efficiency. There's so many things behind what Bruce and I do every day as financial advisors that that we have to gather, like things, repetitive tasks. And we're always trying to free up the advisors and their teams to focus more on understanding and serving the clients, right? We don't want to be doing account balancing and performance reporting and data entry and all those things. We do them, but the human can't do them as fast. And so when it comes to financial planning, this is going to be huge, because if a client calls and says, guess what happened to me? And this is real life, right? This is decades of getting these phone calls. Guess what happened to me? Either somebody passed away, or a happy call. Hey, I'm getting married, or I decided I'm going to retire. Well, AI can help us, you know, have those significant life events tailored to you in a very, very quick process to incorporate those aha moments in and redo your financial plan in a very short period of time. And, you know, right now, and as of recent, we would have to go in and plug in those numbers and redo the plan. And every time a client came in, we're redoing the financial plan. So the enhancement of the efficiency to be able to do that is huge. Bruce?
So let me kind of summarize what I heard you say, and that was all good. Honestly, Peg, I'm like hanging on your words because it's you explain that in a very understandable, logical way. So it's a balance of technology and human touch. AI or technology can help revolutionize how we do things, but it's not going to replace the personal touch. I think some clients, some listeners are afraid of, I don't want my financial advisor to be a robot or a computer. I want to talk to a person, and at least in the near-term future, that's going to remain true. But this is a tool that we can use to enhance our efficiency. And maybe that's where we go back to. We kind of have a list of bullet points today. The first one is, what is AI's early impact on our industry? And you talked about it, the simplification or the automation of routine tasks to be able to do things for clients more quickly, more efficiently. Where would you take it from there? What else do we want to talk about with regard to how AI is impacting our industry?
Well, there's a lot of advanced analytics. So let me give you an example. Many companies, we custodian a lot of assets with Schwab, and many companies have enhanced client services and communications because of AI. So some of you who listen probably get a virtual assistant now, and it might be on your iPad, it might be on the phone, and a lot of these firms are starting to incorporate 24-hour, 7 days a week client support with basic questions. Like I had this question, what's the amount that I can put in my Roth for 2025? And what are the income levels that, you know, phase me out from being able to do a Roth? Boom, instantly that was answered. Now, at Wealth Enhancement Group, we also, for our teams, use some AI to get some of that information super fast, right? We're still going to be your hands-on person to contact, but we're using resources to be able to get information faster. Because in our industry, look at this bill that just went through. In a matter of seconds, we were able to incorporate all those new features and benefits from that bill into our financial planning software in a very short period of time. So Wealth Enhancement Group is piloting a lot of things with AI within our company. One, piloting just means it hasn't been deployed in our entire company yet, but client meeting notes. You know, we do meeting after meeting after meeting, and it's so fun chatting with people and documenting what's happening in their lives. Well, I used to call mine building clients for life. And when you see clients a couple times a year, I would keep this storyline going of those clients on each review. Well, AI now can help me summarize those notes, put relevant data in there that I requested to do. We can send out personalized email. We used to just type those up after the meeting and contact clients. Well, those kinds of tasks are going to be great. And then the other thing is we'll be able to look at patterns like spending patterns, investment behaviors. You know, we're human and we recognize that you're human clients, right? And so a lot of this is, yes, just cut and dry, but once again, just faster getting that information so that we can work with you on your unique situation and create these customized financial plans ongoing and coach our clients through it. Bruce?
So we kind of talked about then some of the early impacts on the industry that we're already using. What about going forward, Peg? How do you see this advancing? How do you see our use maybe increasing? What going forward, what do you think AI can still help us do better? And what things do you think it's never going to be able to do? Because, again, I know there's people worried about, I want to talk to a person, I don't want to talk to a computer. But on the other hand, I know there are also people out there that maybe don't want the level of comprehensive planning that we provide for a lot of our clients at Wealth Enhancement. Maybe they want a simpler approach. Maybe they just want an algorithm to show them how to invest. And I think at Wealth Enhancement, we're taking the point of view that we're always going to have that comprehensiveness and that human touch for those that want it. But for those that don't, we want to be able to provide that service as well, rather than have them go to a competitor. So we want to be able, to the extent we can, be all things for all people, or give people what they want. So where do you see it going? Where will we still get more enhancements, and where do you think it will never go?
Yeah, just a really quick point about the analytics and emotional intelligent guardrails, because you and I, Bruce, and all the advisors at Wealth Enhancement Group deal with clients that, when the markets have big swings, they're prone to impulsive or emotional financial decisions. And we've helped people, just thousands of people, stay in the markets when there's a downturn or there's a big crash happening, or, you know, it's time, not timing. Just so you know, AI cannot predict the future. It's actually all about the past. So our jobs are still going to be very important in that coaching, the emotional part of money itself, and then just setting guardrails that protect clients from their own selves. You know, when the markets are volatile, that's a big part of what we do. The other thing is compliance. And as clients and customers and people who work with firms, AI systems are able to monitor, you know, unusual patterns and things with fraud. I mean, we have fraud people on our show coaching people about fraud and money laundering and being aware of these types of things. Well, AI can monitor a lot more transactions super fast. And I'm going to say that a lot today, is super fast kind of data information that we can use. And then also just, different scenarios when it comes to, the future and decision-making and stronger alignment, that kind of thing. So Wealth Enhancement Group is a believer in these systems are going to allow us as advisors to have even more time to spend with our clients. And, we're in control. We're just finding information faster and being able to share that information with our clients, at a very fast pace. Bruce?
One of the other things that occurs to me, Peg, it's not just, so we're talking today about how AI is impacting the financial services industry, how it's impacting us as advisors or Wealth Enhancement as a financial planning advisory company. But it occurs to me that also the listeners are individuals out there, and I firmly believe that the vast majority of people would benefit from using a financial advisor. But for those that are do-it-yourselfers, or maybe you have an advisor, but there's certain things you do on your own. Maybe you file your own tax return. Maybe you have a small portfolio on an online trading account that you do your own trading. It occurs to me that AI can also be a tool for individual people that might benefit them in certain ways. But again, how can they use it, and what is it not going to do for them? Okay.
Yeah, it is going to be huge, but it's you still remain in control. I keep saying super fast, just because if you have data and it is the past, right? So you still have to make judgment calls, like, does this feel right? Humans are compassionate, right? They're people that you want to talk to. The other thing that we do is we live through so many people's lives, our clients, and we're actually able to share experiences that we've had with clients and then that benefit, other existing clients. But what AI doesn't do is the ethical part involves real clear boundaries, meaning it should never replace human judgment. It has no emotions. It doesn't have these value-driven decisions, which we built our firm on. It can't override the advisor's business standards or unauthorized offers or promises. and it must remain strict data security and privacy standards. So clients' personal data must always, always, always be protected and ethically managed. So this is very new, right? And so one of the things that's happening right now is just the governance of all the data that's out there and how it's going to be used. And that evolution is actually happening really, really fast, Bruce.
Well, we're about out of time for the first segment. When we come back, Peg, let's kind of tie a bow on this topic. We'll summarize and give key takeaways on AI. But then, Susie, we'll have plenty of time for listeners and their questions, and we'll take as many of those as we can. And it doesn't just have to be on AI. We'll take any and all financial questions in the second half of the show.
All right, very good. You are listening to Your Money. That's Bruce Helmer, the founder of Wealth Enhancement and vice financial advisor, and Peg Webb, senior vice president with Wealth Enhancement. This is the time for you to jump in, 651-461-9226. This next half hour is open to you to ask questions, as Bruce mentioned, about anything in your financial world. 651-461-9226. It is 829 on WCCO. And we are back for the second half of Your Money. It is 8:34. I'm Susie Jones, and we are happy to have again Bruce Helmer, the founder of Wealth Enhancement and financial advisor, and Peg Webb, senior vice president and financial advisor. And this is the time for you to jump in and be a part of the show at 651-461-9226. You can text your question to Bruce or Peg at 651-461-9226. You can also call the station, 651-461-9226, and we'll get your question answered that way. And Bruce and Peg, I want to remind people listening and walking by, we are broadcasting from the Minnesota State Fair this morning. I am on the porch. And so if people have a financial question, Bruce, and they want to pop up to the porch and come ask a question about their money, they can have that option as well on this Sunday morning. So welcome back to both of you.
Thank you, Susie Jones. Appreciate it. I'm assuming you got a jacket on this morning. It's a little cool today.
Yes, I have a jacket, and I borrowed someone's sweatshirt because I'm on the porch. I'm not in the sun, and there's a little breeze, so I'm being kind of a big baby. But I'm all right. We'll get through it. So do you guys want to recap, you said, and then take some questions? Go that way?
Yeah, really quickly, if you joined us late, listeners, we've been talking about AI and how it impacts the financial services industry, both for Peg and I as advisors and Wealth Enhancement as an advisory planning company, but also how you can use it individually. I don't want to go over everything we went over in the first half of the show, Peg, but maybe just a quick summary and some key takeaways for listeners and kind of a closing message on the topic today of AI, where we're already using it, where we think it might be going, just some key points for listeners, Peg.
Yeah, I'd love to. Just kind of a summary. Just remember that artificial intelligence has no emotions, right? So there's an emotional intelligence, which you and I and everybody out there has. And a big part of our job is that emotional component and being able to relate to the clients. But AI is quickly advancing to bring lots of automation to teams. In Wealth Enhancement Group, like just routine tasks that we've been doing that are very time consuming, that will help us free up time. Providing, very deep personalized analytics for improved financial guidance. I mean, it's what we do, but once again, there's just a lot more data at our fingertips to be able to help clients. And then having these guardrails to help clients derail themselves. I think that's the biggest part of our job, is getting people to not make bad decisions. And then the Wealth Enhancement Group, we embrace this AI for all the reasons we said today, but the human element of understanding like families' complexity regarding their money, very emotional, right? Along with our behavioral coaching, we've built trust with these clients for life. And that's something where AI is not going to be touchy-feely. They're not going to know you. But there is so much efficiency because of AI. And remember, 1992, where we didn't even have computers on our desk. And fast forward, look what we have today. And then my last comment, since we've been talking about this a long time, is the S&P 500 has a lot of exposure to companies that are investing in AI. So sometimes some of them are their core businesses. Some of them are just companies that are integrating AI in their products and services. So as we see the growth in our investments, a lot of that is coming from this huge evolution here of AI for the future. Bruce?
Peg, that's interesting, and that's a. I'm glad you brought that up. I wouldn't have thought of that today, but I had the question last week, actually, from a client: how much of my portfolio is exposed to AI? And I didn't know the answer off the top of my head. I had to go talk to the investment management team, and on some level, I was even like, "Well, what is an AI company or not? I mean, if it's a technology company like Apple." They're using AI, but would you say that's an AI? So I wasn't even sure where to draw the line. And I'm sure this is not true of all of our portfolios, but on the portfolio that this particular client was in, our investment management team said about 15% of the portfolio is AI or AI-related companies. So we're not only using the technology, we're investing in this. And we think there's a lot of future potential here for investors, and we're certainly doing that in our portfolios at Wealth Enhancement. Susie, let's let listeners drive the rest of the show.
All right, 651-461-9226. That is the number to call. If you are listening at home in your car, if you can call safely or text safely, 651-461-9226. And remember, too, if you're listening as you walk by here, the Minnesota State Fair is open for business, and there are a lot of people making their way in on this kind of cool morning, but hopefully that's perfect fair weather for a lot of folks. A texter wonders, how do you determine your fees? Is it a flat cash fee or a percentage of assets under management? Do Bruce or Peg want to get that one?
Peg, you want to talk about how Wealth Enhancement gets paid?
Sure. There's all sorts of ways that we can get paid. There isn't one set type of fee. What we offer is a no-cost consultation to talk to people and find out what they're looking for. And we're happy to go through how much it would cost based on your individual details that you're looking for the resources from Wealth Enhancement Group. So generally, you hear out there, you know, 1% of the assets that you manage or something like that. Well, we actually really tailor to each client a percentage based on their uniqueness of what they're looking for from Wealth Enhancement Group. Bruce?
Yeah, that's a good answer. I'll add a little bit to that. I would say that, you know, again, while we're not giving a specific answer to cost and we're not trying to be evasive, to Peg's point is it's going to vary based on your circumstances. But I would say, number one, it'll be very transparent. You will know what it is. Peg, I'm frequently surprised when potential clients come in to talk to me that already have another advisor elsewhere and they're considering making a change. And when we talk about what they're paying that advisor, they don't know. If you work with us, you will know our fees are very transparent and they are tailored so that, generally speaking, we do better when you do better. We're in the boat together. And the other thing I would add is if we can't demonstrate to the client that whatever the fees are, that they're not better off with us than without us, they should fire us. I always tell clients that's what I would do if I was in any kind of relationship. And net of cost, if I didn't see the value, I would terminate the relationship. So I encourage people to fire us if they don't feel the fee is worth it. And I knock on wood as I say this out loud, we almost never get fired. Our client retention rate is exceptionally high. And usually when we lose a client, it's not because they fire us. It's because they leave this world, they pass away. So our client retention is very, very good. Clients, whatever they pay us or however they pay us, they obviously feel that we're worth it because they not only stay with us, but most of our clients refer other people to us, friends, family members, work colleagues, and so on. So, yeah, it again, there's a lot of different roads we can go in terms of how we get paid, and we like that flexibility. We don't like a system that just pigeonholes and there's only one way to be compensated. We like to make it comfortable for the client, but yes, obviously, we need to be compensated. Peg, I tell people all the time, wealth enhancement doesn't just exist to make money, but if we don't make money, we don't exist. We can't help anybody if we're not profitable. Just like going through life, we don't live to breathe, but if we don't breathe, we don't live. So we have to be profitable, but we want it to be a win-win. We want our fees to be structured so that it's fair to the client, it's fair to us, and we can make a profit so we can exist to help others. Lastly, and this was actually on my mind today anyway, and I didn't know we were going to get this question, on the weekends, I like to watch golf. And usually when I watch golf, I see commercials for other financial service companies. And sometimes the commercials imply that if you're a fiduciary, you should never sell commission-based products. Well, I'm proud to say at Wealth Enhancement, sometimes we have commissions. And specifically, think about life insurance. If you want or need more life insurance, that's going to be commission. That's just the way that industry is structured. We don't really have any control over that. But if you want a comprehensive planner or a comprehensive advisor, aren't they going to do an analysis of your insurance costs? Are you paying too much? Do you not have the appropriate coverage? If you're going to do that kind of comprehensive planning to determine those needs or desires of the client, and then you can provide that service, it doesn't mean you're not obligating or fulfilling your fiduciary responsibility if you make a commission. And every time I see one of those commercials, that the implication is somehow that's bad if you're selling a commission-based product, it just irritates me, because we want to be able to provide the most comprehensive level to our clients that we can. And I know I'm over talking, but one other thing I had on my notes today, one of the questions I've gotten several places independently of each other recently is a variation of, is Wealth Enhancement a one-stop financial shop? And I would say, I don't know that anybody is, but we probably come as close as anybody. There are some things that we don't do that we outsource to strategic partners, but to the extent that we can, that's our goal, is to be a one-stop financial services shop. And so that's also why how we get compensated can vary so widely, because, again, it's going to depend upon specifically what we do for that individual client. Susie, I'm sorry if I over-talked there, but I really wanted to give that clarity. Susie?
No, I think that's great. And I think Peg mentioned, too, that free consultation is so helpful, because maybe you aren't even sure, you know, and maybe you've got money somewhere and you don't know what to do with it or how to take it out when you do retire. That's something that anyone can take advantage of, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for emphasizing that point. And sometimes on these consultations, this no cost, no obligation introductory meeting, I have told people they should not engage us, that we're not the right fit, or their situation is not such that they should be paying us, because I don't see that they're going to be net better off. It may be a situation where maybe somebody says, I really want to invest, but I've got thousands of dollars of balances on high interest credit cards. My advice might be, look, before you invest any money with us, you should pay down that inefficient debt, that high interest non-deductible debt. When you've done that, call me and we can chat again. But right now, this might not be a good time for you to engage our services. So, yes.
Yeah.
We are a fiduciary. We will always give our best possible advice. And that no cost, no obligation introductory meeting, people tell me all the time, whether they end up engaging or not, that meeting was helpful to them. It was useful. They learned. And also, I think, Susie and listeners, sometimes people don't want to set that meeting because they're intimidated.
Oh,
people
right.
Tell me all the time, the meeting was fun. It was enjoyable. They don't know what they were afraid of. Once they did it, they were glad they did it. Peg, you must get those responses also.
Well, absolutely. So everything that you just said is spot on. And you always talk about everybody is so unique. And I would say absolutely, after doing this for decades of time, everybody's unique in that the financial plan is tailored to them. And so it's not like this boilerplate thing that is just printed out and everybody fits that one financial plan. That's the fun of it. That's the fun of our jobs, is to be able to live through people's lives and see the accomplishments that they've made, et cetera. Go ahead.
All right. 651-461-9226. If you have a question for Bruce or Peg, we've got some folks in the audience here as well. Want to make sure if you have a financial question for Bruce or Peg, you can come up and I'll get that to them. Here's a question from a texter. I will receive money from my parents' IRA after death. Does that money have to go into another IRA, or can I keep the cash? Bruce, Peg?
Hey, thank you, Susie, and thank you, texter. Peg, I think we should expand on this because, again, I still think there's a lot of confusion about inheriting money and how it's taxed. Even though I feel like we talk about it a lot and we try to give clarity, I still get questions, and you know, not just on inheriting IRAs, but inheriting Roth IRAs or inheriting money that's not in any kind of a retirement plan, any kind of a tax-deferred or tax-advantaged plan. These things are all taxed differently, and again, we talk about it a lot, but I know from the questions we get, there's still a lot of confusion about this, Peg.
Yes, so there is. And I just took some continuing education where it was all about IRAs and the details that are incorporated in and changing, right? There was just clarification that just came out on inherited IRAs because it was so confusing as to when the government actually changed the ability to not stretch your IRA over another generation. So when you inherit an IRA, and one of the questions that this listener had was, if there's cash, can I just cash it in? If you inherit an IRA, you can absolutely just cash it in. But yes, 100% of that would be taxable in the year that you took a withdrawal or you cashed it out. So more times than not, what people do is, if you need some cash, you could take some out and then pay tax on it. You have that flexibility. Then there's this 10-year rule where your IRA has to be taken completely out by 10 years. And so there's some recent changes on the IRAs that the IRS just came out, and I don't have them all in front of me, but there is a little bit of complexity to this. The other thing you should know is if you're a spouse, you have other provisions, favorable provisions, to be able to stretch that IRA longer. But it also depends on your age. Bruce?
Yeah, well, I don't think that was pretty good. You know, I think the key there is the spouse is always the primary beneficiary unless they disclaim that right. And if you are the spouse, you have more flexibility. But if you're anybody other than the spouse, yes, you've got to take distributions and you've got to deplete that IRA account over a period of 10 years. But, Peg, the one thing we didn't mention, I'll mention really, really quickly, if you inherit a non-qualified asset, you might not have any tax liability at all because the basis steps up to the value of what the asset is when the person leaving you that account, when they pass away. So if I buy stock at $1 a share and it appreciates to $100 during my lifetime and I never sell the stock and I leave it to my kids, their basis is not $1. Their basis is $100. If they sell that stock at $100 a share, they don't pay any of the taxes on all that gain that I had during the years I owned that stock. So again, taxes on inheritance, it depends upon age. It depends upon your tax bracket. It depends upon what the investment is. Is it non-qualified? Is it qualified? Is it tax advantage like a Roth? So, again, we can help people understand that, and I get why it's confusing, but anybody inheriting money, if they're not sure, they can always reach out and we'll help them determine how that's going to be taxed. Susie, any live questions at the fair?
Yes, yes, yes. We have a question from the audience here at the Minnesota State Fair. Jack is from Oakdale. Jack, what's your question for Bruce and Peg?
When I was saving money, I was using bond mutual funds for my bond thing. And then I went to a financial advisor, and they put me on a ladder of individual bonds. And I just wondered your opinion on bond mutual funds versus holding individual mutual funds.
It's a great question.
Jack, that
individual
is a great
bonds,
question.
I'm sorry.
Yep, Jack, that's a great question. Fortunately for you, Peg Webb knows as much or more about bonds and bond funds as anybody in our industry. Peg?
I do. I love bonds and why I have just a great awareness of them. I like both for different reasons. So bond mutual funds are actually a whole basket of different bonds. And it's actually usually it's actively managed where there's somebody behind a desk managing the bonds. A ladder or buying individual bonds, which means a ladder just means that you have some maturing in 1 year, some maturing in 2 years, all the way, it could be all the way up to 10 years. The reason I like both for different reasons is a bond mutual fund, I feel, is a long-term hold. And if you want to take income out of it, you know, for your life, it is going to go up and it's going to go down based on interest rates. The negative of bond funds is that if you have a lot of people liquidating beyond your control, it's very possible that the value of your shares are going to go down if there's a massive exit. If you have a ladder of bonds, you actually are in control. And so whatever you paid for those bonds, and if it's the par value, and you hold it until maturity, you are going to get your money back. So you see where there's more control in building a ladder than there is bond funds. But there is a place and time for both, depending on the particular client situation. Bruce?
Yeah, I know we're almost out of time. Susie, Peg, really quickly, wouldn't one of the other advantages of using funds be greater diversification as opposed to buying just individual bonds?
Right. You have to have quite a bit of money to build your own ladder and have the diversification that you need long term.
Susie, I know we're about out of time.
Yes, but so many good questions. We want to tell folks that are listening right now, if they didn't get their question answered, they can always email that question to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. You can always call 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can leave a message and someone will get back to you, and you can get that free consultation. 1-888-6-ADVICE. Thank you both, Bruce, Peg. Make it a great day, and we'll try to stay warm out here at the Minnesota State Fair. We'll see you all next week.